Fellow baptized, we have been to the empty tomb. We have seen the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The words of our text today concerning the risen Christ. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no name under heaven given by men by which we must be saved. Jesus went right into the heart of the Jews, into the council, and talked to the rulers, the scribes, the Pharisees. He said these words, that Jesus alone is the Savior. Now, he didn't say, oh, Jesus might be the right one for you. He didn't say, consider Jesus as an option. He didn't say, well, take Jesus, but now you know you better check with your doctor first because this could result in persecution, pain, interpersonal difficulties, as in the Viagra ads, you know. Peter and John didn't say, well, let me give you 5 apologetic arguments as to why your belief is unreasonable. No, in the old dragnet Jack Webb fashion, they just stated the facts. Just the facts, ma'am. Jesus is the only name under heaven and earth in whom there is salvation. No beating around the bush, no euphemisms, no cultural relativism, just the facts. The facts of a risen Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the leaders of the Jews were so confused that just after our reading, we find out that they gave Jesus a pass. Go ahead and leave. Just don't talk about this anymore. I shouldn't say Jesus, Peter, and Paul. I just gave them a pass. But you know what? They said, we can't stop talking about them, about Jesus, because he indeed is the sole Savior. Well, you pastors-elect, vicars-elect, and deaconesses-elect are going out to various places in the world to preach the word, the saving word, Jesus, in season and out, and to care for people in his name. But don't kid yourselves. The world does not believe that salvation is in Jesus alone. Yes, there are pockets that do, and hopefully in your church. But there is no guarantee of that. The dominant motif of American culture today is that there are many ways to heaven, if heaven exists at all. Now, isn't that a scary way to start your ministries? Perhaps you'd like to stay for a couple more years of graduate study. You see, our world isn't so much different than the world of Jesus' day. The dominant religion isn't that much different, for legalism rules, not the risen Christ. You know, when the gospel is absent, the fallen flesh of man fills in and fills the void. Fills the void with all the how-tos, which you're going to experience out there in your parishes and your communities. You know, how to be a better father, how to be a better mother, how to lose weight, how to be a Christian weight lifter, and all these wonderful things. Other people will describe America's dominant religion today as moralistic, therapeutic deism. You know, moralistic, behave this way or that, and you'll be blessed. Therapeutic. God's on a string and you can bring him in at any point to have him do what you want him to do. And deism, whether he's gracious or not, he controls all things. Others will say that the dominant motif of this American religion is American civil religion. You know, this is the religion that is born on the license plates, including Indiana's. The idea that God blesses Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, because there's only one God, and this is sort of a conflated amalgam God that we have. No true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. 2 days ago, I traveled to Hillsdale College in southern Michigan for the defense of my youngest son's senior undergraduate thesis. For some reason, the college asked me to be one of the readers. Poor Fritz, that's all I can say. His thesis was entitled Religious Rhetorical Resonances in the 2008 Presidential Campaign of Barack Obama. He analyzed the religious rhetoric in President Obama's speeches from his 2004 electrifying speech to the Democratic Convention all the way through the 2008 campaign. His research came to an interesting conclusion, and that was that either intentionally or unintentionally, President Obama crafted his speeches in such a way that they bought in to this non-Jesus view of American society and religion. Now, indeed, we understand the two realms, the two kingdoms that God has our feet in, and certainly we should not be critical of our president for this, because we're not looking to him to be a spiritual leader. But on the other hand, this was so obvious in Fritz's research that this American civil religion, this moralistic therapeutic deism, was at the heart of what this presidential candidate was saying. But it's not just our culture. It's not just me and you and the president and others who are swept up by this. Indeed, it is people in your own parishes that you will go to. They live in the culture. They are of the culture. You won't really see it like this. Oh, pastor, by the way, I just discovered that Jesus really is not the Savior. No, you won't see it that way. What you'll hear is something like this. I am sure my brother Billy is in heaven. Even though he stopped going to church years ago, his loving nature and service to others were clearly evident. He must be there. After all, how could God overlook a guy like that? Oh, too, by the way, he put in hours as a volunteer at the American Legion Hall and always led the prayers. But you know, if that individual saying those things happens to be the chairman of your congregation and the biggest giver in the whole parish, you might be tempted to fudge a little bit. Well, there is no other name by which man might be saved except Jesus, but God can certainly do what he wants. Yes, but God has bound himself to his holy word, and we are all baptized into Christ. So don't beat around the bushes. Jesus is indeed the only name by which all people may be saved. Watch out not only for your parishioners' false confessions, but for yours. We have an exciting new vicarage this year at a major United States university. The supervising pastor, the district president, and I planned it. I am very excited about it because it's going to afford the vicar an opportunity that many of our vicarages do not, the opportunity to spend much of his time in evangelism, campus evangelism, not simply gathering Lutherans in the campuses to come together, but true outreach. I'm really excited about this because of the way the supervising pastor who works on campus daily does his evangelism. He goes on to the university campus, which is in a warm climate and which has many activity tables set forth out at all times where you can join up for the swim club or the chess club or think about ping pong or whatever you might want to do. All these things like that. And he sets up a table. And he puts a sign behind it, and he puts out some really striking, provocative sign. Now, some of these I can't mention to you here today because it certainly wouldn't be appropriate. But one that I can mention is he uses a "God is dead" sign. And he gets all sorts of people to stop by to talk to them. Jews, Muslims, atheists, agnostics, fundamentalists, all sorts of people, where he begins to engage them with the truth that there is no salvation outside Jesus Christ. And you know, the funny thing is, the way this happens, as he explained to me, is that he tells this visitor right off the bat, "Did you know that Jesus Christ died for you?" And no matter what the student said, "Well, I'm not sure about this," or "Gosh, I've never heard this," or "I don't believe it," or "What do you mean?" He says, "Yes, Jesus Christ died for you, and in him alone is salvation." Now, this direct approach is so countercultural that people listen to him. So countercultural because the apologetic approach says, "Well, you have an idea, I have an idea, let me convince you why your idea is wrong and why my idea might be right." So this in-your-face direct proclamation is a wonderful, wonderful thing. By the grace of God, you gathered here know today that Jesus Christ is indeed the only name by which the world is saved, let alone you. You have all of your past catechesis in your home congregations. You have the word shared among you as friends. You have the word that you have heard in your classes. You have the word that you have heard in your field ed churches and from so many other sources. And so you know all these things just joyfully scream the beautiful resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead for you and for all people. So I don't want you to be discouraged in the face of this horrid world which has bought into this alien religion. Because after all, it's not you. It's the Lord Jesus himself acting in and through you who carries this beautiful message out to the whole world. And you aren't responsible for the results. You're only responsible for carrying the message. Think about how you have been fed on the Lord's body and blood. Think about how you have been baptized. Think about how the word has come into your ears. And know that that is the guarantee that you can go forth to your place and tell all that in fact Jesus is the only Savior. He is the way, the truth, the life. He provides life everlasting through his holy word for all. In his name.